The ultimate thing is that I as a coach do not want to be, let's say, re-triggered or reactivated by someone else's experience. And since as a coach, we generally tend to coach some earlier version of ourselves first. That's usually who our ideal client is, our avatar, an earlier version of ourselves. So we want to make sure that we have cleaned out as much as we can so that we can show up as a clean, clear vessel for our clients. And so we don't want to be coaching when the wound itself is activated. We want to have healed some part of it. Now, I'm not saying we need to be healed 100% because I don't really know if that happens, but we need for at least it not to, you know, take us out at our knees.
Welcome. You are listening to the Hero of the Hour podcast, the show dedicated to empowering you to take financial freedom into your own hands. Through expert interviews with decades of experience, this show will give you not only the tactical strategies of what's working in business, but the appropriate mindsets to master your financial future and build generational wealth. Heroes and entrepreneurs operate with a similar anything is possible mentality, and that is exactly what our show is about. Your host is none other than Mark B. Murphy, CEO of Northeast Private Client Group and best-selling author of 3 books, all dedicated to helping others plan for generational wealth. He and his team are on a mission to share their knowledge and techniques so that others can enjoy a life of financial security and freedom. Get ready to be inspired to create the life of your dreams. Let's go.
Today, I welcome Nancy Levin, a prolific author and coach, to the show. We dive into the essence of her upcoming 7th book, Embrace Your Shadow to Find Your Light, a transformative guided journal aimed at helping you uncover and reclaim lost parts of yourself. Nancy opens up about her own journey and the evolution of her coaching career, sharing personal experiences and growth. We explore the significance of setting boundaries for personal freedom, delving into her transformation from a people pleaser to someone who firmly upholds her own limits. Nancy's coaching approach, deeply rooted in her personal and professional development, centers around empowering others to discover their voice and strength. This episode is an exploration of coaching intricacies, covering the challenges and rewards of establishing a successful coaching business. Nancy and I discuss the paramount role of authenticity and vulnerability in coaching, delving into her methods and emphasizing the importance of coaches undergoing their own transformative journeys. It's a discussion loaded with valuable insights that you won't want to miss. Enjoy. Welcome to another episode of the Hero of the Hour podcast. I'm here with a very, very special guest today, Nancy Levin. And I'm Mark Murphy. I'm the founder and CEO of Northeast Private Client Group and the author of 3 books, including my current best-selling book, The Ultimate Investment. But I'm with somebody that's a prolific writer and has, I think, how many books do you have, Nancy?
My 7th book is coming out in June 24.
So I want to hear all about that. But we welcome to the podcast, Nancy.
Thank you. I'm really happy to be here with you.
So you mentioned your 7th book's coming out. What's the topic of the 7th book?
The 7th book is called Embrace Your Shadow to Find Your Light, and it is a guided journal to really support whoever is working with the book to be able to go inside and ultimately identify and reclaim the lost pieces of themselves, the parts that they've either denied existence of or consciously or unconsciously hidden from the rest of the world. So this is really an adventure into wholeness.
You know, interesting. It seems like, and I say this with all great respect.
Sure.
That it seems like everybody that I know wants to be a coach. But you actually have done something to kind of separate the wheat from the chaff, the men from the boys, the women from the girls. And why don't you tell people about your program? Because I found it fascinating, because I think it's so needed out there. Because, I think for people to
pay hard money and their own hard-earned money and to get the results that they need, they need to make sure they're talking to people that are qualified to help them. So yes. I wanted to tell them how you evolved with one of your companies in terms of a coaching certification program.
Yes. So, you know, it all began really with me going through my coach training and certification program with my mentor, Debbie Ford. And this was back in 2010. And I got involved in her work because at the time I was the event director for Hay House Publishing. She had become a dear friend. I was producing her in-person events. And I hit a crisis in my personal life. And I really needed to take a good long look at my own inner world. And Debbie was my guide. And we had been working together in many different capacities for a few years. And Debbie passed, unfortunately, in 2013. And in the meantime, I was coaching one-on-one, groups, membership, and what I found overwhelmingly was that coaches were coming to me for coaching. People who had either already done a certification elsewhere or who had just decided to hang a shingle. And they were coming to me, and what I heard over and over again from them was, I don't know how to get a coaching client, and the truth is, I wouldn't even know what to do with a client if I got one. So I realized that there was a really big gap in the coach trainings that are out there. So I went about crafting and creating a coach training and certification program of my own that I launched in 2019. And what's really different about this training than anything else out there is that it is incredibly comprehensive for the student to sit in the seat of the client first, to really experience being coached in the model and method they will ultimately become certified in. Then we move them into coaching skills. Then we move them into practice. And then post-certification, they are automatically enrolled in an alumni springboard for 8 weeks, which supports them in building their business from the ground up or to enhance and up-level their business from wherever they are. So these were elements that were missing in especially the business building pieces, were missing in my own training that I took and in really anything else out there that I've explored. So I knew that that was a crucial element for people because it's one thing to say I'm a coach. It's a whole other thing to actually really view yourself as a business owner, to understand that as a coach, you're also a self-promoter. You're a marketer. You have to make yourself visible. And the other piece is to address the part about I wouldn't know what to do with a client if I got one. My coaching methods are follow a trajectory. So we know where we're starting with the client. We know where we're going next and next and next. So we have an arc already crafted to follow. And this framework can work for anyone. So the person we're coaching is what brings themselves to the process, but we are following a process that we know is proven. I have worked with thousands of clients through these frameworks. And so we know that they've, you know, proven the test of time.
Tell us, I'd like to get more into that as we talk about what that looks like. But I think before we do that, I'd love to, you know, you talk about, you know, where you started. You mentioned how you came into coaching.
Yes.
For people that don't know you, tell them your story and tell
sure.
them about that inflection point. I think people would
sure. Absolutely. So as I mentioned, at the time in 2010, I was the event director for Hay House Publishing, a position I held for 12 years. I was producing live events around the world on the road 200 plus days a year with the greatest minds and authors and teachers in the field of personal empowerment, motivation, spirituality. And I always say I had a front row seat and a backstage pass to all of their teachings. However, their teachings couldn't really land in me until I was really in my own crisis. And this crisis came in the form of ultimately blowing up my marriage. I have been a lifelong journal keeper. And long story short, it is in several of my books, this story, but long story short is I came home from producing one of our events and my husband confronted me having read 4 volumes of my journal.
Oh, wow.
And what I discovered was that he had discovered that I'd had an affair 8 years prior. And being the people pleaser, the peacekeeper, the conflict avoider, wanting to really project the image of perfection to the world, he knew that my greatest fear was any sort of exposure. And he had threatened to copy pages, send them to my friends, my family, all of this. This actually happened in 2008. It took me 2 years to really be able to leave the marriage, to be able to have my own foundation under me, to really be able to look at what was driving me. And ultimately, through shadow work, through the working with my teacher, Debbie Ford, I was really able to connect the dots from my past. And when I was born, I had an older brother who died when he was 6 and I was 2. Right. And he had been very, very ill, incapacitated basically. And so I took on the role of having to be the savior. I took on the role of trying to heal my parents from a grief that they could never be healed from. And so I often also say that on the day that I met the man who became my husband, he said, "Hi, I'm broken." And I said, "Well, great, I will fix you." And so, you know, as we became more enmeshed and as our, you know, lives became more entwined, I began sublimating all of my wants and needs and desires in service of his. And ultimately, I lost myself entirely in the marriage. And, you know, in the year 2000, when I had the affair, it was really all I knew to do to help myself get out, even though I didn't get out then and I didn't know how to get out. What I realized I did though, is set a bomb in my journals to detonate 8 years later. And to this day, I am eternally grateful that he read the journals because knowing me, I would have done everything in my power to stay. I was constantly seeking external validation, chasing all the gold stars, projecting an image of perfection, giving everyone this really specific lens to see me through. And what happened during that period of time of him reading the journals and me finally being able to leave was that I rediscovered my life. I started living life on my own terms. I started being able to set boundaries. I started really being able to be clear on who I am and what it is that I want and what I deserve and what I desire and what I'm worthy of.
Well, that is amazing. So you got this big career. You've now decided this is an inflection point.
Right.
And so what happens next?
Yeah. So, another real big turning point in 2010 was that 2 of my coworkers at Hay House were getting married. And they asked me as I was going through my divorce to write a poem for them and read it during their wedding ceremony. I have a master's in poetry.
So, wow.
Mm-hmm. So I wrote the poem and read it. And Reed Tracy, the president and CEO of Hay House, heard the poem. And he was like, "Oh my God, you're like a real poet." And I said, "Well, of course I'm a real poet." And he suggested that I read my poems as I was introducing the keynote speakers at our events. So I emceed all of our events. Sometimes we had up to 7,500 people in an audience. And I certainly was not under the impression that they wanted to hear poetry, and certainly not mine, when they're eagerly waiting to hear the likes of Wayne Dyer speak or Louise Hay or Deepak Chopra or you name it. So it took a lot for me to really be able to stand center stage in the spotlight and share of myself in this way. But I did. I started sharing my poems. And a really pivotal moment was at an event in Pasadena where Wayne Dyer was about to get on and give the keynote. And I read one of my poems before I introduced him. And a woman came up to me at the end of the evening and said, "I thought I came here to hear Wayne Dyer. I came here to hear that poem."
Wow.
And oh, I still, I mean, this is like 13, 14 years ago, and I still get chills. Like, it was real. It was amazing. And then Reed actually said, even though I was working for a publishing company, he said, "I think you should self-publish a book of your own poems." So I did. I self-published a book of my poems that came out in 2011. And then after that, and I was really using, even at that time, using my book of poetry to begin leveraging my burgeoning coaching business, which I was doing on the side. I had a side hustle along with my full-time job that was, you know, huge. And then Reed had said to me, "Now I think you should write a real book." And so I started writing my book, Jump and Your Life Will Appear, an inch by inch guide to making a major change. And I reflected on the steps I had taken to get myself, not only through my divorce, but really get myself to know myself. And then being able to make the jump. And it's a process that I ultimately even used when I left my job at Hay House. So it really can sort of align itself with any kind of change. And so once I self-published Jump, this was now 2014. I should back up a little bit. As I was writing Jump and getting ready to publish it, I did go to Reed and say, "You know, I think it's time for me to resign." And, you know, he said, "I'll tell you when you can quit your job." And he said, "I really want you to..."
Well, that sure right? served you for being yes. valuable to people.
Yes. He said, I really want you to do is get a solid foundation beneath you so that when you do leave your job, you are up and running in your coaching business full throttle. And so I spent a good deal of time doing that. And then in 2014, I self-published my book, Jump. And then about two weeks later, he called me and said, "Your book is doing really well out of the gate. We want to pick it up." So Hay House picked up my self-published book, Jump. And then about a month later, Reed called me and said, "It's time for you to go now."
Wow, that's what a
incredible.
Self-effect. And,
incredible. So we, you know, made a plan.
That validation. That's
it was.
Incredible validation.
It really was. It was amazing.
Have you noticed that life is getting more and more expensive? From grocery prices to real estate values, everywhere you turn, prices seem to be skyrocketing. Well, Mark has dedicated decades of his career and life to serving entrepreneurs and professionals to build real wealth, and in most cases, multi-generational wealth. The reality is, we all have to navigate turbulent times in this economy, but the difference will be for those that have a roadmap and a customized plan for building wealth. That's why, as a listener to this podcast, we are so excited to share with you first access to Mark's newest book, The Ultimate Investment, a roadmap to grow your business and build multi-generational wealth. When you access this book, you'll discover how to know when you're working a job instead of a business. That hard work isn't all about hours put in. This will make you more productive. Why you need to live with your back against a wall. How to surround yourself with the right people who support your vision. And so much more. Go to www.markbmurphy.com/book to get access now. Once again, go to www.markbmurphy.com/book. And now, back to the show.
You've published about, you know, by, if we said the first one is 2011 and the seventh one is 2024. That's just a little better than
a
book every
right.
other year.
Yep.
So take us through the journey, because I think I'm a believer that
Me too.
Everybody should write a book, and I'm a huge believer in that. take people through, is that part of your coaching? Take us through your thoughts on publishing. And the other thing I'd love to know is, what do you learn from each one? I realize they're different types of books, but why is the seventh one better than the fifth one? Why was that better than the fourth one?
I so appreciate this question. So, and there's a lot here. Everything from really understanding the publishing process. And like I said, even though I worked for a publishing house, I'm really glad that I self-published my first two books, specifically because of the timeline. You know, you can have a self-published book in your hands 3 to 4 months after the manuscript is complete versus 18 months to 2 years for a traditional publishing house. So I was really able to leverage both of my, you know, first two books to help me grow my business. And what I see time and time again is that having a book when you are an entrepreneur, especially, it gives you street cred. It gives you, you know, it really helps you build your platform, which was really important to me. So then once Hay House had picked up the second book, they began contracting me for all of my subsequent books. And so the next book, and each book I will say is rooted in something that I had experienced that I knew how to communicate in a way that would serve others. I specifically set about writing each of my books to follow a framework that could easily be translated into a coaching curriculum. So from my second book, Jump, to my seventh book that I just mentioned, each of these six books also has a corresponding coaching framework that I train my coaches in inside of my academy. And so it was really essential for me to experience something and then realize how I can synthesize it to be able to share it with others and ultimately coach others through a process. So the third book is called Worthy, Boost Your Self-Worth to Grow Your Net Worth. And so it's really looking at the intersection of, if I think I'm not good enough, I also think there isn't enough. So really looking at the ways that our beliefs craft what we're capable of having and deserving and feeling worthy of. Moving into then a book on relationships called The New Relationship Blueprint, which was actually, that was the hardcover title. The next book, the paperback title is Permission to Put Yourself First, which really is the premise that if you want to be in healthy relationships, you first and foremost need to have an honest and healthy relationship with yourself.
Wow. Speaking to the choir. I think that anybody in a relationship, I'm sure that you don't get too much to disagree with that.
You know, a lot of resistance, especially from people pleasers and peacekeepers and conflict avoiders, especially from people who are conditioned to put other people ahead of them. What happens when we're willing to give ourselves permission to consider our needs first, you know? And then looking at the patterns, looking at the behaviors, looking at the beliefs, looking at, you know, what has transpired in the past that has brought us here.
You know, if someone is looking to create a successful life coaching business, who typically, you've coached an awful lot of people for a long period of time. Where are the hot spots? Where do most people enter your world, and who should be talking to?
I really run the range from, I would say in my coach training program, a third of the people who go through my training are already certified elsewhere. But what they've realized is they don't really have what they need to build their business, even if they have a certification or many certifications. And then I would say the other two thirds is aspiring coaches and people who recognize the value in doing the inner work, even if they might not think they're ready to help others. Through the process of the training, I have had so many people tell me when I entered the program, I did not think I was going to become a coach or that I'd even be able to coach others. And by the end of the training, they feel confident. So it runs the gamut there. And I've, you know, trained literally everyone from, like I said, people who are already coaches to MDs, to therapists, to stay-at-home moms, to realtors, to lawyers. it depends. And ultimately, coaching skills are always going to be great life and communication skills.
I don't think you have to be a coach to benefit from any of the things that you do. Help people to understand a little more, without sharing everything, but just a little bit idea where somebody says, well, I'd like to come to you because you just kind of lay out the program a little bit, maybe, and you can even lay out some of the programs in addition to the coaching of what you do. Let people know that you have more than just your academy, but start with the academy and then tell people what else.
So in the academy itself, we begin with a module where I am coaching you in reinvention coaching, which is a coaching model that sort of aligns with my book, The Art of Change. And so I'm coaching you through a process. In addition to meeting with me weekly live on Zoom, so this is not prepackaged, this is not dripped, this is not pre-recorded. This is me in real time with you. You also meet with a small cohort of under 10 students and a mentor. So there's a lot of high touch. There's a big high touch factor. What I love about this is there's no possible way to enroll in this program and let it collect dust on your laptop. You are, by virtue of committing, you are engaging in real time each step of the way. So there's no falling behind. There's no catching up. You are in it every step of the way, held in real time. In the second module, we move into coaching skills. So we explore essential coaching skills. This is when you're beginning to move out of the seat of the client into the seat of the coach. And from there, we move into a practice round, if you will, where you will have an in-program client and an in-program coach. So you will be coached by an in-program coach through the entire reinvention coaching sessions and vice versa. You will also be coached. So you'll coach and coach through the reinvention model to further be able to embody the work and further do your own excavating. I'm a big proponent of, coaching from the scar and not the wound. So we have, everything we can do to be exploring what's happening for us.
By the way, tell people what that means. So not everybody
really
knows
so that we're that not the ultimate thing is that we as a coach, I as a coach do not want to be, let's say, re-triggered or reactivated by someone else's experience. And since as a coach, we generally tend to coach some earlier version of ourselves first. That's usually who our ideal client is, our avatar, an earlier version of ourselves. So we want to make sure that we have cleaned out as much as we can so that we can show up as a clean, clear vessel for our clients. And so we don't want to be coaching when the wound itself is activated. We want to have healed some part of it. Now, I'm not saying we need to be healed 100% because I don't really know if that happens, but we need for at least it not to, take us out at our knees.
I mean, it's almost the same thing with a therapist. It's the same, a good therapist is, somewhat of a blank canvas that is, you shared with me before that, obviously I think your programs are affordable for most people. I think that the first program
goes 7 months.
Yes, the first
program goes 7 months.
Is that correct?
And then we actually move into that 8-week module all around business building. So it's really 9 months.
So if somebody's thinking about coming to the program, they can know that the overwhelming majority of people have been very successful once they've graduated the program and can continue to be part of your influence sphere. Why wouldn't it work? So if I'm thinking there, what would be the reason why it would not work? What are the, why would people not be you know, successful going through the program.
Ultimately, I can only do so much, right? So, you know, if you want to compare it to a physical, to like a personal trainer, you know? So if I go to the gym once a week with the trainer and I'm expecting massive goals, but I don't do anything on my own time, you know, so it's sort of like that. I mean, this is, it truly is a commitment and there's accountability involved. And so the only way that you're not going to be successful in the program is if you really don't end up showing up to be present, to do the work, to do the exploration, which is a different question from how would you not be successful post-certification? So once you're certified, what I see time and time again is this issue of visibility. You know, this issue of who am I to hang a shingle? Who am I to help others? Or I don't want to share, you know, I have had a lot of people say to me, I don't want to share of myself the way as openly as you do. Now, I didn't start sharing my story on day one. I had to work my way into being able to share my story fully. And I also had to work on inside myself to be able to stand with what I'm sharing. And that's, you know, sort of the other piece of publishing a book. You know, yes, I believe everyone should write a book. Publishing a book is very different from writing a book. And if you're going to publish, you really need to be able to be, especially, I mean, a nonfiction book, a teaching memoir, a, you know, prescriptive nonfiction book, you really need to be the face of your book and your business. And I know that what draws people to me is that they hear my story and find themselves in it in some way or another. And that will always be the case. So what will have you not be successful is if you're really unready or unwilling. I mean, we have to do things before we're ready. So are you unwilling to really put yourself out there and claim your, you know, claim your spotlight?
Are you, you know, for you started as a people pleaser fixing someone at the beginning of your marriage. How with your journey, how would you say you've evolved, or how are you different now in 2024 than you were in 2008 or 2000 or 1985?
Well, I think probably the only book of mine I haven't even mentioned yet is the book called Setting Boundaries Will Set You Free. And that is my answer. I am incredibly supported by my own boundaries. And I will say the way that I define them is boundaries are the limits that we set for ourselves around what we will or will not do, will or will not accept, will or will not tolerate. Really what's okay and not okay for me. So I'm boundaried in my time, in my energy, in my relationships, in my work, in my non-negotiable personal practices of self-connection. You know, I had probably lived nearly, really 4.5 decades, 45 years of my life, not even knowing what a boundary was. And everything really shifted when I began setting healthy boundaries that I could live my life by that ensured my sense of freedom.
That's very powerful. Tell people how can they find your company? How can they find your books? How can they tell people how
have everything on my website, nancylevin.com. So you can find my podcast on there, my social, my books, all the things. And as I mentioned, my next book is coming out in June of 2024, and I will be offering for the first time in a very long time, group coaching experiences with me. I really no longer coach one-on-one or in groups outside of my academy, but I am coming up this late winter and spring in celebration of the new book.
Well, I can't wait to read that. When will the pre-orders?
Pre-orders, you know, it is already up on Amazon. I've seen it, but not with the cover. But pre-orders, I'll really start doing. I'll start letting people know. I would say by February.
Well, I believe, Nancy, that everybody should have a coach, and you make sure that everybody has a qualified,
exactly,
amazing coach. So I think that it's a good match for my beliefs as well. But I want to thank you for taking time out of your day. I appreciate the opportunity to continue to get to know you, and through our paths.
Thank you so much, Mark.
Thank you, everybody.
I hope you enjoyed the episode today on the Hero of the Hour podcast. Make sure to hit subscribe on whichever platform you are listening to this on. If this episode made you think of someone, go ahead, take a screenshot and share the podcast episode with them. You can catch the show notes for this episode and more at www.markbmurphy.com/podcast. Be sure to check out the other great books and resources on the website while you're there. Once again, it's www.markbmurphy.com/podcast. All links can be found in the description below. We look forward to serving you on the next episode. This podcast is for informational purposes only. Guest speakers and their firms are not affiliated with or endorsed by PAS or Guardian, and opinions stated are their own. Registered representative and financial advisor of Park Avenue Securities, LLC, PAS. OSJ, 200 Broad Hollow Road, Suite 405, Melville, New York, 11747. 631-589-5400. Securities products and advisory services offered through PAS, member FINRA, SIPC. Financial representative of the Guardian Life Insurance Company of America, Guardian, New York, New York. PAS is a wholly owned subsidiary of Guardian. Northeast Private Client Group is not an affiliate or subsidiary of PAS or Guardian. California Insurance License Number 0B36048. Arkansas Insurance License Number 741545. Expiration and submission numbers located in the show notes.